Have you ever wondered why the news plays the same five stories again and again? Let me give you a little hint. Brainwashing and repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing. Join me as we look at the news cycle and talk about why the mainstream media is so gutless and afraid to report the truth. What's up, guys? Happy Monday. Welcome to Troubled Minds News. I'm your host, Michael Strange, and this is the show where the conspiracy is the news. You know what that means? Misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, all the BS we're expected to believe because they tell us so. And, well, there's a lot of reasons why they would lie to us. And I'll leave those reasons for you to decide exactly what the reasons are. But I think it is interesting, compelling, fascinating, notable that, well, this is the way the world is anymore. And that they can't just tell anybody the direct, honest truth with actual, like, literally scientific consensus statistics because everybody disagrees and they want to be able to cherry pick their own BS statistics and tell you, well, this is the real thing, not that, because look, we framed this in just such a way, right? And I think the most interesting part about that in particular terms is that they don't trust us. They're afraid of us. They don't want us with real information because if we had it, we'd be super upset at them, you see? So everything seems, and who is them? I'll explain them in just a sec. I know it's not an us v them thing, but it is the elites, right? The predator class, as somebody said in the chat not too long ago, which is super hilarious. But I mean, they're terrified of us. They're terrified of us waking up and saying, wait a minute, none of this shit makes any sense whatsoever. And well, that's why we do the news this way. This show actually started with another show called Troubled Minds Radio. Of course, you guys know, you all know the show. If you found this, you probably know what that is, but it's Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Talk about all the weird stuff, right? We get super weird. It's maybe juice time. This is the coffee show. That is the beer show, all right? And so what we're going to do today, per usual, is just talk about the news. We're going to talk about the news cycle and all the rest of that, like I said. And as always, as part of the transparency process, love to hear your thoughts as we go. You can jump in here and be part of the show by dialing this phone number, 702-957-1037. That's 702-957-1037. We'll put you on the show. It's as easy as that. You can also click the Discord link and go to troubledminds.org. That's troubledminds.org. And we'll put you on the show there as well. Click the Discord link and the Discord is open. Pop on in, just jump in the caller queue and let me know you're there. I'm actually watching it, so you won't have to let me know. But with the radio show, I have just too many links up. I can't watch all the things. I got Rockfin up and other stuff. But anyway, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up, Mike Dance. Let's get to the news. All right, you got it. Right away. Let's do this. Let's stop talking and let's go. Let's start here. This is from themirror.co.uk, which, again, gets a ton of flack, deservedly so, because they're a tabloid. But, hey, everything's tabloid news when they're lying to us anyway, so let's do it. Let's go to the Mirror and look at this. Yeah, you'll never believe this. This is brand new. This is from today, May 16th. Mysterious hobbit human species may not be extinct, says expert in controversial claim. Uh-oh. Anybody have hairy feet out there? You guys remember this. This was Homo floresiensis, right? You guys remember this? This came out, and they said New Zealand and all the rest of this stuff, in Indonesia. And, they said that this may have been like the hobbit version of the human ancestor, all right? Now look at this. This is straight from the article, and wouldn't you know it? An early species nicknamed the hobbit and thought to have gone extinct thousands of years ago may still be alive today, an expert has controversially claimed. Homo floresiensis, dubbed the Hobbit because it stood around 3 foot 6 inches tall, is thought to have lived in the island of Flores, which is now part of Indonesia, between 60,000 and 700,000 years ago. That's a big gap, by the way, 60 and 700. Anyway, it was a small-brained, large-footed toolmaker, and it is not known where this species evolved from. Now, one anthropologist has astonishingly claimed the Hobbit could be alive and well today. Ah, Bilbo Baggins, where art thou? Gregory Forth, who worked at Alberta University before retiring, argues, now this is where it gets interesting, argues that sightings of an ape man on Flores might prove the ancient human ancestor still exists. He told Live Science, quote, "We simply don't know when this species became extinct, or indeed, dare I say, we don't even know if it is extinct. So there is some possibility that it is still alive." Oh boy. Do we have the clip here? Do we have the clip? No Greta clip. How dare you? That would have been a perfect time for that. Oh, well, we'll just say this instead.
Ancient astronaut theorists say yes.
Because why not, right? Here you go. So Flores, quote, this is John Hawks, a paleoanthropologist at the University of Wisconsin. He said, Flores is an island that has been about the same area of Connecticut and has 2 million people living on it today. He continued, realistically, the idea that there's a large primate that is unobserved on this island and surviving in a population that can sustain itself is pretty close to zero, Hawks said. So we got two scientists disagreeing here. But Forth, who has been doing anthropological field work on the island since 1984, doesn't agree. Over the years, he has heard about a number of local sightings of small, hairy humanoid creatures living in the forest and wrote about them in his research until 2003, which was when the Homo floresiensis was first discovered and Forth made the connection. Quote, I heard about these similarly small human-like creatures in a region called Lio, which were said to be still be alive, and people were giving accounts of what they look like, he explained. Interesting. Is he doing this to sell a book? Because, of course, he's got a new book called Between Ape and Human, An Anthropologist on the Trail of a Hidden Hominid, Pegasus Books, 2022. Interesting. This is good. Well, apparently, maybe Bilbo Baggins lives on the island of Flores, and we just haven't rooted him out yet. You know why? It's that pesky ring that makes him invisible. That's why. Damn it. We need to root him out. Where are the Nazgul when you need them? What's going on? What's up, Gibby? Maybe they'll tell us tomorrow hobbits are real and flying around our skies and UFOs. And that is true. Tomorrow, by the way, it's 7 a.m. Pacific time. They're having the UFO hearing, which we'll get to in a little bit as well. What do you think about the hobbits? Maybe still alive, 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Let's go. There's more. A lot of news today. I was pretty impressed with the amount. And sometimes it's like, this is a bunch of crap. But we got a ton of news here. This is awesome. This is from Futurism. Check this out. I had to laugh. Whiny space tourists say they were too busy on the space station. And look at this. They wanted to look out the window. Oh, you mean they were kept too busy to look out the window? You know how you make people believe space is fake? By not letting people that pay $50 million get on the ISS and not look out the window? That's how you make people believe space is fake, people. Come on now. Anyway, here we go. The crew of private astronauts on Axiom Space's AX-1 mission say they were too entirely busy while on the ISS. So busy, in fact, it interrupted the other astronauts on the ISS with them. A Space News report published yesterday tells us what Larry Connor, Mark Pathy, Michael Lopez Alegria, and Aiton Stibbe, I don't know, S-T-I-B-B-E, thought about their trip to the ISS because the team attended a press conference to answer media questions. The trip was initially supposed to take 8 days, but was extended to 15 because of weather conditions on Earth. The extra time was helpful, Axiom's paying customers said, but the crew still felt rushed. Oh, All right. I guess this is fine. Quote, our timeline was very aggressive, especially early in the mission. Lopez Alegria, who used to be a NASA astronaut and commanded the Axiom mission, told Space News, the pace was frenetic in the beginning. Oh, okay. Now, so frenetic you couldn't take a few minutes and look out the window here and there? Weird. And which is, by the way, an old conspiracy theory. I can't remember the name of the guy, but one of the first space tourists was super agitated, and it's lends to the conspiracy theory that they're hiding something in space, because he paid a ton of money to go up and get on the original space station. I think it was maybe this ISS when it first launched, or this was a long time ago, but he basically said that he wasn't allowed to look out the window. So, well, that right there, like I said, if you want people to get suspicious, well, that's how you do it. Here you go. Quote, I think we were so focused on research and outreach in the first 8 to 10 days on orbit that we needed the extra time to complete the experience by having time to look out the window, to make contact with friends and family, to just enjoy the sensation, Lopez Alegria told the outlet. It's easy to forget the astronauts do actual work and don't just float around for fun. Many are tasked with important scientific research on their missions, and et cetera, so on. So anyway, that's how you do it, right? That's how you do it. This is how you spawn conspiracy theories, right? Because, what's up? If I want to have the live feed playing in case anything real actually happens during those hearings. Yeah, tomorrow morning. Yeah, I'm not sure. The way I've been sleeping, I've been awake at 7 a.m. So I'll probably fall asleep tonight, like literally minutes after the show. I'm like drooling out of my mouth. Drooler. Ah, he's a drooler. But then I'll probably be up at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something like that. Maybe even 3 a.m. I think I was up at 3:30 a.m. today. So, I mean, I'm a mess sleep-wise. So maybe I'll be awake. Maybe I'll be able to watch the whole damn thing. If not, this is going to be an archive of it, of the UFO thing tomorrow. But anyway, so back to this ISS thing, just real quick. This is one of those ones where it's like, come on now, are you serious? Like, they paid $50 million a piece for a space tourism thing, and they had a hard time looking out the window, right? They had a hard time looking out the window. It's like, hey, so they put them to work. They paid $50 million. They sent them up there to the ISS, and then they put them to work. What? Like, are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me? Anyway, whatever. This is how you spawn and perpetuate conspiracy theories, all right? If you want transparency, why don't you just keep a live camera right outside the ISS, and if the UFOs fly by, we'll be able to see the UFOs fly by. Or if people pay $50 million to come to the ISS, why don't you let them look out the damn window? 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org. Let's go to NPR. NPR, here it is. This is a disturbing trend that keeps popping up in the news. A substance found in young spinal fluid helps old mice remember. Oh, well, that's nice. A team at Stanford University has demonstrated a new approach to reversing memory loss in mice. Remember, everything's in mice. An infusion of spinal fluid from young mice reversed the memory loss typically seen in aging animals, the team reported this month in the journal Nature. A growth factor found in the fluid also improved memory, though to a lesser degree, says Tony Weiss-Corey, a neuroscientist and a senior author of the study. Quote, when we put the factor in the mice, they actually are better able to perform a memory task when they have to remember something that happened to them. In this case, a small electrical shock. Yeah, that's fine, right? That's fine. A small electrical shock. This is why they don't do this shit on people that we know of. Anyway, the finding hints at a whole new era in the search for treatments for Alzheimer's disease and other age-related conditions that affect a person's memory and thinking, says Maria Lettinen, a neuroscientist at Harvard Medical School, who wrote a commentary that accompanied the study. In any case, right, we're learning that all kinds of things you can take, let's say, bodily fluids from young people and inject them in old people, and you see why this is problematic? 702-957-1037. Let's keep on trucking. Let's go to Gizmodo, one of the other most trusted sources in news. Gizmodo, yeah. Your case of Omicron might have super boosted your immunity if you were vaccinated. Dun, 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 the plot thickens. Recent preliminary research might offer some comfort to the many vaccinated Americans who came across Omicron this past winter. A pair of studies suggest that vaccinated people who caught the variant went on to develop a strong and diverse immune response to the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus in general, more so than people who were vaccinated and boosted or people who were only infected with Omicron. The findings could also indicate that an updated booster, perhaps specific to Omicron, will be more effective at ensuring longer-term immunity moving forward. The plot thickens. What's up? I see you there. Winton the Wonton. Thank you for the subscription. Appreciate that very much. So this is this is, again, like I said, you guys know me. I rarely talk about the coronavirus because we said all we needed to say by March of 2020 before any of this shit went down. Ash and I said everything we need to say. And if you go back and listen to those shows, we were prophetic in so many ways. And so this, I think, well, I smell a little bit of propaganda. Buyer's remorse on that vaccine? No need. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. 702-957-1037. Let's go to ZDNet.com. Let's keep on trucking. What's up, guys? Hope everybody's well. Just doing our thing, reading the news. DeepMind's Gato is mediocre. So why did they build it? A gato, of course, means cat in Spanish. That one goes out to James. What's up, James? How's Logan? Doing the same thing we do every day, taking over the world, trying to take over the world. DeepMind's program is a generalist to test the notion that over time, greater computing power will win in AI. We got this. The world is used to seeing headlines about the latest breakthrough by deep learning forms of artificial intelligence. The latest achievement of the DeepMind division of Google, however, might be summarized as one AI program that does a so-so job at a lot of things. Oh. Gato, as DeepMind's program is called, was unveiled this week as a so-called multimodal program, one that can play video games, chat, write compositions, caption pictures, and control a robotic arm stacking blocks. In one neural network, it is one neural network that can work with multiple kinds of data to perform multiple kinds of tasks. Okay, quote, with a single set of weights, Gato can arrange in dialogue, caption images, stack blocks with a real robot arm, outperform humans at playing Atari games, navigate in simulated 3D environments, follow instructions, and more, writes lead author Scott Reed and colleagues in their paper. A generalist agent, which is, of course, posted on the ARXIV preprint server, which I will link here if you guys want to check that out. There you go. Dropped it in the thing. Hey, Mr. Moto. Don't worry, Gato, Mr. Momoto. There you go. El Gato. Mediocre. Why'd they build it? Because, of course, how else are you going to take over the world if you don't build the robots to take over the world? 702-957-1037. This is Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Don't go anywhere. We got more coming up after this quick break from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. And again, quick shout out to Winton the Wonton for the subscription of Prime on right there on Twitch, which, of course, is a way you can do it. By the way, if you guys are subbed up on Twitch, it does drop every month. So if you've done it with Prime, so if you do enjoy the show and you spend some time here with us, I'd appreciate it if you just took an extra few seconds to re-up that sub when it falls off. So thank you so much. Here we go. Quick word from our sponsor, which of course is you. Be right back. More Troubled Minds News on the way. Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering. Us.
All right. Welcome back to Troubled Minds News. I'm your host, Michael Strange. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? Let's go to this. This is from pocketgamer.biz. We're on Twitch, the gaming platform of all gaming platforms, right? Well, this is some bad news. You guys heard about the crypto crash? this is a big one. Let's go to the big news because this is big news. Check this out. Axie Infinity's utility currency devalued to 0.004 cents of US, that would be the US dollar. Axie Infinity developer Sky Mavis's utility currency Smooth Love Potion plummeted to 0.004 cents on May 12th. That's, yes, less than a penny. 004, not 04004. As the developer struggles with ensuring sustainability of the game's ecosystems, player activities, and the profitability for players in Tier 3 countries such as Vietnam and the Philippines, where the majority of Axie players, rather than investors, are based. Yep, this sucks. Game developer Lars Totally Texas Doucet, D-O-U-C-E-T, I don't know how to say it. If he's French, it would be Doucet. If he's not, that would be Doucet. But what do I know? Highlighted on Twitter, SLP, when rounding to the closest cent, gives you 0.00. Tellingly, ASX governance token, Doucet noticed that Sky Mavis's more salient currency is also down by 85% since November. Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that other than ouch. Double ouch. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Put you on the show. You can join the thing and be the thing and say hi. And let's go to this. Let's go to CNN. CNN Business, which of course is the other most trusted source of news, which of course is the joke I always use because CNN always says that. But here we go. Check this out. This is the Fed has a new plan to avoid recession. Yeah, that's right. Party like it's 1994. Yeah. Hey, if only like this, guys, this is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things, because they want to say everything is progressive and we're getting better and better and better. But then we have these knuckleheads that run the country. They're like, hey, print all the money. This will be fine. We'll just print money and send bombs to the Middle East. This will be fine. This should be fine. There's no problem here. And then look what happens. Yeah, well. We're going to raise interest rates. If you guys remember, after the Jimmy Carter presidency, 1979, some of you guys are actually old enough to remember this. I'm not, by the way. I was a baby then. Let's say maybe even just born. But the thing is that in that actual moment from 1979, 1980, 1981, 1982, the Reagan presidency, they were facing a similar situation. And what did they do? They jacked the shit up out of the interest rates. They jacked it up like to a ridiculous degree to just cool off all the bullshit that was happening in the economy, right? So people stopped spending money and it locked everything back into a sustainable situation, right? So if you were going to borrow money, it was going to be at a really ridiculous interest rate. So people stopped borrowing money frivolously and losing it because, of course, and then getting bailed out by the government, which, of course, was what we've seen. Again, COVID was another example of that. Just look up the COVID numbers with the COVID bailouts and how much fraud that was. It's estimated that the fraud situation in the COVID bailouts just in the past couple of years are like above 50% of the entire bailout. It's like, okay, well, congratulations, federal government. You're fantastic at printing money and throwing it at the problem and having that money disappear to fraud. Interesting. Almost like you don't give a shit. So no, this is not the upside down clown world. Anyway, there we go. Yeah, we're going to party like it's 1994, right? So here we go. Early this month, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced a half percentage point increase in interest rates, the largest hike in over two decades. Powell also indicated that he wouldn't hesitate to do it again, a move straight out of the central bank's 1994 playbook. We may as well say 1984 playbook, because why not, right? When the Fed last tampered with the U.S. economy and successfully executed a so-called soft landing. 1994. In the 12 months that followed February 1994, the Fed, under former chair Alan Greenspan, oh, everybody remember that guy? Alan Greenspan, the old school boogeyman instead of the new school boogeyman. Anyway, in February 1994, nearly doubled interest rates to 6% in just seven hikes, including two half-point increases and one three-quarter point hike. Eat Your Heart Out, 1994, wrote Morgan Stanley analyst in a note following Powell's comments. Yeah, there you go. This is what happens. This is why we can't have nice things, guys, because we got a federal government that's corrupt and out of control. They don't give a shit about us. They want to print money and send it overseas. And they're like, hey, and they wonder why Donald Trump and the MAGA train runs rampant, right? Because people are sick to death of, one, having to pay taxes, an unfair tax burden for working class people, which it fucking is. Number two, having the government, the federal government, print money and send it overseas constantly. And not only that, to perpetuate proxy wars, more wars, right? And so our taxpayer money is going overseas for people to kill each other, which I condone none of. I think it's all a grotesque waste of clearly and obviously human life, clearly and obviously my tax money, right? Which, again, tax burden, ridiculous. Don't get me started on that. I'm already started on that, but don't remind me, right? Tax season just passed. I'm pissed off. Here we go. This is why we can't have nice things, because our federal government is screwed up. And I was going to say something I was going to regret. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org. Let's go to ARS Technica. And there we go. Let's do this, because why not? We got how to build a wormhole in just 3 steps. Well, nearly impossible steps. But okay. This one goes out to Night Stalker if he's out there. Planning a trip to the Andromeda Galaxy? Not so fast, they say. Oh, yes. There you go. Oh, we got some options, right? Here you go. Let's read the top of this, and we'll get into just the bullet points. This is super funny. You got yourself a fancy new spaceship, and you want to start a 5-year tour of the galaxy. But there's a problem. Space is big, really big. And even at the fastest speeds imaginable, it takes eons of crawling across the interstellar voids to get anywhere interesting, which I've said that quite a lot. The solution? It's time to build a wormhole. Yes, it's time to build a wormhole. Let's do this. A shortcut, a tunnel, a bridge through space-time that lets you skip through all that boring space travel and speed to the fun stuff, right? It's a staple of science fiction, and it's rooted in science fact. And how difficult could it be? Very difficult. Option number one, of course, we always talk about the Einstein-Rosen bridge, the old school wormhole. If only we had enough power to generate a wormhole to this degree. They're talking about the black holes, tapping power from a black hole to maybe do this. We've actually talked about black holes in the past as being maybe these Einstein-Rosen bridges themselves, because of course we don't really know what goes in a black hole, if it comes out on the other side and through a white hole, if it gets locked up in some time-space freezing situation with the massive gravity signature. Who the hell knows? Nobody knows anymore, right? Anyway, so we got the Einstein-Rosen bridge, we got the black hole blues. We got the Morris Thorne Bridge, and we got the Exotic Energy Bridge. Anyway, it's a nice article if you're into making yourself a wormhole. There you go. 3 nearly impossible steps. Easiest way to make yourself a wormhole. 702-957-1037. This is Troubled Minds News, and I'm Michael Strange. Let's keep on trucking. Let's stay in space for just a moment, and actually physics. Let's talk about physics. Because why not, right? This is from inverse.com. And things are breaking down. You know, we always talk about in Troubled Minds Radio, is our reality breaking down, right? Like the old, you've seen the meme with the reptilian overlords. They're like, sorry, we're going to reset the simulation back 15 years. We just want to see what would happen. Sorry, guys, disregard this, right? Here you go. Why scientists think physics could be in for a reckoning. Oops. Let's see. Recently, a series of precise measurements of already known bog standard particles and processes have threatened to shake up physics. And with the Large Hadron Collider getting ready to run at a higher energy and intensity than ever before, it is time to start discussing the implications widely. Yes. In truth, particle physics has always proceeded in two ways, of which new particles are one. The other is by making very precise measurements that test the predictions of theories and look for deviations from what is expected. The early evidence for Einstein's general theory of relativity, for example, came from discovering small deviations in the apparent positions of stars and from the motion of Mercury in its orbit. All right, sweet. I'm into that. So they got... So the LHC, they're firing it up. It's into its, I guess this is the third run, I believe is what this is. And it's more power than ever before. Unlimited power, right? You guys remember Star Wars? Yeah, he's just like firing the lightning out of his fingers. Unlimited power. This is sort of I don't know. You tell me. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org, and we'll put you on the show. It's as simple as that. Just doing our thing. It's talking the news, considering all the possibilities, looking at the propaganda cycles, and of course, looking to hear from you. This is Troubled Minds News. I'm your host, Michael Strange. Don't go anywhere. More of all of this after the break. Be right back. Welcome back to Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? Let's go to theconversation.com. Now, this is an interesting one because we've talked about this. Sorry, James. This is a fascinating one. This is compelling. This is wild. This is mind-blowing. Just working on and trying to clear that word interesting from my vocabulary. I say it way too much. And in any case, stop soul-searching on the stream, Mike. Could the headline here, could people breathe the air on Mars? Ooh. Oh, we've talked about this in the past. You guys remember Randy Kramer, the Marine on Mars, who claims that they had some sort of a space secret, like super secret space program that picked children that were predisposed to psychic powers and time travel, and they plucked them out of their beds in the middle of the night, sent them on a spacecraft to Mars itself, where they underwent 20 years of training as space marines. And then, not only that, they fought aliens on the planet Mars itself. There were reptilian aliens, they say. There were insectoid aliens, they say. And then, after their 20-year tour on Mars, or it was 25 years or something like that, that they would send them back in time, back to their bed when they were a child, at the point they were abducted and enlisted, wink, wink, into the secret space program. That's the Randy Kramer story, and it rings like a lot of horseshit in a lot of ways. But interestingly, in the Randy Kramer story, again, I've been doing this a while, so that's how I know all this shit, is that Randy Kramer said that on Mars, you could actually breathe the air. And people would regularly take off their space helmets from their spacesuits on Mars. Which seems very unlikely or very likely. You tell me. Here we go. Oxygen, of course, is in the air we breathe here on Earth. Plants and some kinds of bacteria provide it for us. But oxygen is not the only gas in Earth's atmosphere. It's not even the most abundant. In fact, only 21% of our air is made up of oxygen. And of course, right, almost all the rest is nitrogen, about 78%. Now, you might be wondering, if there's more nitrogen in the air, why do we breathe oxygen? Okay, here you go. This is the quick bit. Technically, when you breathe in, you take in everything that's in the atmosphere. But your body uses only the oxygen. You get rid of the rest when you exhale. Yes, there you go. Michael Strange is always a little breathy. Let's get a little more breathy. But the air on Mars, right? The Martian atmosphere is thin. Its volume is only 1% of the Earth's atmosphere. To put it another way, there's 99% less air on Mars than on Earth. It's partly because Mars is about half the size of Earth. Its gravity isn't strong enough to keep atmospheric gases from escaping into space. And the most abundant gas in the air, the thin air, is carbon dioxide. For people on Earth, that's a poisonous gas at high concentrations. Fortunately, it makes up far less than 1% of our atmosphere. But on Mars, carbon dioxide is 96% of the air. Meanwhile, Mars has almost no oxygen. It's only 0.1%, blah, blah. Anyway, so if you tried to breathe on the surface of Mars without a spacesuit supplying your oxygen, you would die in an instant. You would suffocate, and because of the low atmospheric pressure, your blood would boil both at about the same time. Okay. All right. Well, let's just put that to bed. No. The answer is no. The short answer is no. Everything we know about Mars says no. No, 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 no. If you ever make it on, look, if you wind up in a dream, and that's what they say, says Bernays Sauce. You're right. What's up, Bernays Sauce? That's what they tell us. I've never been there, so I can't vouch. But let's say if you ever find yourself on Mars, let's make sure you let somebody else take their helmet off first. How about that? 702-957-1037. Let's click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. We'll put you on the show. show. Easy as that. You got comments on this or anything else, because of course, in the name of transparency, all the bullshit artists, right, all the guys that are like propagandists, you can't call to like get a word in edgewise because they don't want you to interrupt their propaganda. It's like literally down to the second where they have to like spend their entire hour propagandizing all the BS they tell you, because they don't want somebody to contradict the things they say and the brainwash cycle that they perpetuate. Anyway, here we go. This is howtogeek.com, and I thought this was a little funny, so I thought we'd talk about it, because why the hell not? Why do I see, quote, FBI surveillance van in my Wi-Fi list? Oh, okay. Let's see. If you're trying to connect to a Wi-Fi access point and you see FBI surveillance van in your SSID list, should you be worried? Is there an FBI van outside your door? Well, we'll get to the bottom of this surprisingly common situation, they say. All right, check this out. Yeah. It's a joke. It's a practical joke. I mean, come on now. We know the FBI and their surveillance is they're incompetent to begin with, right, in general terms, just because of the giant bureaucracy and all the BS that we've seen in the last, 10 years and them politicizing law enforcement, which is trash also, by the way. But in any case, they've proved incompetent in many ways. So, but this incompetent, this would be next level stupid. But anyway, if you see FBI surveillance van, FBI van, NSA van, or police surveillance van on your list of Wi-Fi routers or access points, don't worry. It's just someone nearby playing a practical joke. This joke originated in the early days of Wi-Fi in the 2000s because it ties into a common fear that someone might be lurking nearby and watching you. Also, in the early days of Wi-Fi, some people used scary-sounding SSID names as a deterrent to keep people from connecting to their open Wi-Fi access points. Well, you could also just put a password on there. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was funny. No, there's not an FBI surveillance van outside your place. Unless there is, you should probably open your window and check. 702-957-1037. Let's go to Science Alert. Lots of crazy news today. Like I said, I was shocked. Sometimes I open up the news cycles. It's kind of thin, like low news weeks, right? But check this out. This is nuts. Potentially alive 830 million year old organisms found trapped in an ancient rock. Are you shitting me? What? Come on now. This is how every like bad, right, zombie movie starts. Are you shitting me? Yeah, an incredible discovery has just revealed a potential new source for understanding life on ancient Earth. A team of geologists have just discovered tiny remnants of, oh boy, prokaryotic and algal life. And different from algorithm, this is algal life, A-L-G-A-G-A-L, trapped inside crystals of halite dating back to 830 million years ago. 830 million years, not 830 or 8,300 or even 830,000. 830 million years. What the? Like, you got to be kidding me, right? This can't be real. Can this be real? Anyway, look. Halite is sodium chloride, also known as rock salt, and the discovery suggests that this natural mineral could be a previously untapped resource for studying ancient saltwater environments. Huh, weird. Moreover, the organisms trapped therein may still be alive. What? The extraordinary study also has implications for the search for ancient life, not just on Earth, but in extraterrestrial environments such as Mars. Dun, dun, dun. The plot thickens, right? Where large salt deposits have been identified as evidence of ancient large-scale liquid water reservoirs. Huh. Is this how that panspermia works, right? Life just kind of gets trapped in these salt deposits, and then sodium chloride, and boom, meteor hits a planet, and you get Bigfoot. The organisms don't look like you might be expecting. Previous ancient microfossils have been found pressured into rock formations such as shale dating back billions of years, but salt is not able to preserve organic matter in the same way. Instead, when the crystals are forming in a saltwater environment, small amounts of fluid can be trapped inside. These are called fluid inclusions, and they're remnants of the parent waters from which the halite crystallized. Crazy, right? This sounds wild. That makes them scientifically valuable since they can contain information about the water temperature, water chemistry, and even atmospheric temperature at the time the mineral formed. Scientists have also found microorganisms living in recent and modern environments where halite forms. These environments are extremely salty. We're on Twitch, so what's up, salties? Nevertheless, microorganisms such as bacteria, fungi, and algae have all been found thriving in them. Okay, quote, therefore, a question has persisted amongst geomicrobiologists, wrote a team led by the geologist Sarah Schrader Gomes of West Virginia University. We continue, quote, what are the oldest chemical sedimentary rocks that contain prokaryotic and eukaryotic microorganisms from the depositional environment? Yeah, anyway. I don't know. You tell me. 702-957-1037. Is this how the world ends? They crack open this little salt block and these little critters crawl out and then becomes super saiyan and just levels up, eats the Mario mushrooms and just takes over. You tell me. I have no idea. I'm a half glass full guy. So I'd like to think that maybe that won't happen. Okay. All right. What's up, guys? I see you in the chat. Hope everybody's well. Yeah, Godzilla, right? Godzilla's going to just bust out of this thing. Let's go to Vice.com. One of the actual Vice.com. What's up, Ronald? Thanks. That's very kind of you. Look at this thing. Vice. Scientists, speaking of the ways the world will end, let's just stay on this thread for a minute. Scientists use gene editing to create mutant cockroaches in breakthrough. Oh, okay. This should be fine. For the first time, scientists have edited the genes of cockroaches using CRISPR-Cas9, a technology that can target and change parts of an organism's DNA, reports a new study. The breakthrough not only produced the first so-called knockout cockroaches. What? In history, a term that refers to cockroaches with artificially inactivated genes, it could also dramatically simplify gene editing in numerous other insects, opening up applications for pest control, evolutionary biology, and other entomological fields. Oh. All right. CRISPR-Cas9, often referred to simply as CRISPR, is a technique of artificially introducing DNA sequences into an organism to precisely manipulate selected locations in an organism's genome. This technology has revolutionized genetics by enabling a host of new insights into evolutionary biology and pathways to disease treatments, earning it the 2020 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. Fungi, come to Detroit. We got it covered. Yeah, maybe, right? Detroit. What's up, guys? Scientists have already edited the genes of some insects by performing micro-injection of CRISPR materials into embryos as they develop. However, this technique has been off limits to a large number of species, including cockroaches, that have inaccessible embryos until now, right? Yeah. Well, we've talked about this, about the genetically modified mosquitoes that they're dumping in Florida and California. This should be fine, right? Like, cockroaches are freaking everywhere. They say they're the only thing that could survive like a direct nuclear blast, right? Because they'd crawl, the ones that survived would crawl underground. They'd still mate fast enough to sort of outlast the actual radioactivity, that situation, right? Now we're gonna make what, super cockroaches? These things called knockout cockroaches. It should be fine, right? This should be fine. Where's the meme with the guy burning down in the house? And he's like, this is fine. Why not, right? Hey, why not? If we're going to do this, we may as well just go full on, not Godzilla, but what's that, Battlefield? What's the damn movie called with the bugs on Mars or whatever? Or I don't know, whatever that planet is. Starship Troopers. Starship, see? I'm getting old. I can't remember a damn thing. Okay, let's go. Let's continue. Let's go back to CNN, the most trusted source of news. You got to love this. Quote, we are the last generation. China's harsh lockdowns could exacerbate population crisis. Oh, we're the last generation. This is fine. Speaking of the house burning down, like comments like this, this is fine. This is fine. Okay. Anyway, For generations, of Chinese parents, the success of their children has long been one of their most important goals in life, and they are known to be willing to make great, great sacrifices for it, including, of course, murdering baby girls because, well, the one child policy, if you remember all that. And it was more more desirable to have male children, right? There's a really long, horrific situation there in China that needs to be brought up from time to time, so lest we forget. In any case, and so when a Shanghai family refused to be taken from their home into government quarantine during the city's sixth week of lockdown, a police officer warned them with what he thought would be a powerful threat to bring them to heal their children's future. Listen to this. Quote, "If you don't obey the orders from the city government, you will be punished, and the punishment will affect three generations in your family," the hazmat-suited police officer said, pointing his finger at the camera in a video posted on Chinese social media. Quote, "We are the last generation, thank you," a young man who is not seen in the video replied adamantly in an apparent suggestion he is not planning to have any kids. The video ended there with no indication of whether the family was eventually taken away, or I'm going to interject my own words, or butchered. But anyway, the article continues, but it spread like wildfire on China's internet, resonating with many young Chinese who were fed up with the increasing pressure on them to have children from a society and government that many say has provided them with little of the material and emotional security they need to raise a child. So, yeah, of course, right. This is what we get from meddling with Mother Nature in general terms, because, of course, if you have the one-child policy and everything's bottlenecked and it's suppressed for a very long time in China, then, of course, you're like, you remove that and you're like, okay, start having babies. People are like, fuck off, you know? Like, why do I want to do this? You know, like, you guys, you want me to raise a child in this mess? Yeah, okay. Where you're going to like drag me out of my house and put me in a government quarantine? Yeah. Yeah, that makes me oh, so horny. Let's have some babies. It's so hot, right? Get out of here, bro. Hey, governments. Yeah, there you go. Hate the government so much not to have sex? Maybe. I was about to get crude and say something I would regret, but I won't do that. 702-957-1037. Actually, I will do that, just not this day. Not this day. Eventually, I'll do it. I do it sometimes, but I try my best not to. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Let's get one more word from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. And let's come back for one final segment of Troubled Minds News, and we'll finish this up. Here we go.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
All right, let's do it. Michael Strange here. Troubled Minds News is this. Let's go to Scientific American. Speaking of, that's hot. Let's go to science still doesn't understand how our sex affects our health. That's hot. Our X and Y chromosomes represent the biggest genetic difference in our species. Medicine routinely ignores their influence. Why? Talking about heart disease, David Page, head of the laboratory, Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Whitehead Institute. Sex differences can actually be found all over the body. Women are more likely to be diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and multiple sclerosis, for instance, while men are more likely to be diagnosed with autism. Quote, biomedical researchers have for a very long time viewed those sex differences as a kind of inconvenience that should be ignored and simply gets in the way of research, he says. In this documentary, which is the first episode of Scientific American's new series, A Question of Sex, that's hot, we explore discoveries being made in this small but growing area of research. Yeah, all right. Anyway, interesting and notable and, fascinating. Yeah, you tell me. This is that stuff where I go, eh. What are they talking about, right? I mean, isn't that like treating your patient, you know, for things you're more likely to be susceptible to? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. All right. Anyway, let's keep on trucking. There's always more. There's more here. Let's go to the BBC. The BBC and McDonald's. Let's go to BBC and McDonald's, because why not? Yeah, you got it. McDonald's to leave Russia for good. After 30 years, Oh, yeah. How many billions served in Russia? I'd like to know. There's this one, I was going to say Burger King. Jeez, smack me. I messed up my nasty food. But anyway, McDonald's, there's this one place where I used to grow up in Monterey. California, and my grandmother lived there, and grandparents, and you know, we spent summers there. And there was this one McDonald's that always had this sign up that said over 1 billion served, and I was like, damn, that's a lot of people. Anyway, so McDonald's, the move comes after it temporarily closed its 850 outlets in March. What's up, Vicky? How you doing? Bernays, Ronald, what's up, guys? Now, the fast food giant said it made the decision because of the humanitarian crisis and unpredictable operating environment caused by the Ukraine war. The opening of McDonald's, the first restaurant in Moscow in 1990, came to symbolize a thaw in Cold War tensions. A year later, the Soviet Union collapsed and Russia opened up its economy to companies from the West. More than three decades later, however, it is one of a growing number of corporations pulling out. And check this out. What was the thing? You guys heard this theory that, like, as long as there's a McDonald's in a particular country, it's called the McDonald's war theory. Have you guys heard this? let's go to Snopes. Let's pull Snopes up on this. This just came to me. I should have pulled this up before. But okay, so McDonald's is pulling out of Russia, right? That's the point here. Leaving for good after 30 years. But I've heard this before. And listen to this. It's pretty wild. I have two countries, really. Okay, screw you, Snopes, for your... Let's find another one, then. Let's do another one. McDonald's war theory. Anyway. All right, so it goes a little something like this, right? That two countries that have McDonald's have never been at war with each other. So it's like once McDonald's and capitalism comes into a particular country, those countries are going to be at peace, right? Because like the sort of international effect of economics, right, kind of links them now. This is from foreignpolicy.com. Let's go here. And this is the thing, right? So this is super funny. This is from November 26, 2020. The beautiful dumb dream of McDonald's peace theory. If you guys have never heard this, well, now you have. In the rich, lazy, and happy 1990s, Americans imagined a world that could be just like them. Oh, is McDonald's selling the broken ice cream machines? Yeah, there's the other conspiracy, right? So anyway, for Americans who remember the lazily optimistic foreign policy analysis their country produced in the 1990s, it was a poignant moment. A company once held up as a disincentive to war had become a participant in one. It's another blow to the idea that economic globalization by itself can make war less likely, and instead how the legacies left behind by imperial decline will give birth to a new wave of conflict. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, so it was a dumb old theory, but now, well, apparently, yeah, there it is. Fast food breeds complacency. Yep. Anyway. The beautiful dumb dream of McDonald's peace theory. Yeah, McDonald's war theory, McDonald's peace theory. And yeah, the ice cream machine is always broken. Exactly. That's the other McDonald's conspiracy. Anyway, I thought this was pretty funny. Does anybody care? I don't eat McDonald's anymore. I mean, unless there's so many other options. But you know, unless there's no other options, but blah blah blah. Anyway, we got a moon tonight. We got a moon thing going on. You guys see this? Yeah, lunar eclipse. Yeah, we got jokes. This is from KDWN. That's a radio station here in Las Vegas. As a matter of fact, KDWN, if you didn't know, it's at 720 AM and 101.5 FM here in Las Vegas, was actually the original home of Art Bell's Coast to Coast. There you go, a little trivia for you if you did not know this. But from KDWN.com, how to watch the total lunar eclipse tonight in Las Vegas. Huh. Nice. Right on. Let's check this out. Take some time tonight to simply look up into the sky. A total lunar eclipse is set to happen Sunday, May 15th. Damn it! I'm a day late. How did I miss this? Oh, well. And this isn't a regular lunar eclipse. Starts at 8:29, 9:11 p.m. or shadow 9:35. Sorry, guys, I fucked up. This is from yesterday. I thought this was tonight. Well, I missed it. What can you do? Tears, emoji, cry. Okay, let's skip that. 702-957-1037. Hey, it said 20 hours ago. I thought they were prepping for today and not tomorrow, whatever. Anyway, this is yesterday. All right, let's go to this because this is not yesterday. This is, the super blood moon lunar eclipse of 2022 occurs tonight. Yep, that was yesterday too. Aw, tears. Did you guys see it? Was it cool? Jay says it was cool. Jay says it was cool. Insult to injury. Let's pile on Mike. He didn't know it was last night. Anyway, whatever. Let's continue because there's more important things to talk about, like this. Now, what's up, Nowhere Galaxy there? First time chatter. What's going on? I didn't see it, but the pictures were cool. Nice. Check this out. This gets super wild. Futurism.com reports this. Yeah, this gets even more hot. Scientists say space is filled with invisible walls. Could simitrons explain the existence of dark matter? Dun, dun, dun. All right. Yep. Scientists' current best theories about the arrangement of the cosmos suggest that small galaxies should be distributed around their host galaxies in seemingly random orbits. But observations have found that these smaller galaxies arrange themselves in thin disks around their hosts, Vice reports, not unlike Saturn's rings. Needless to say, that represents a puzzling gap between knowledge and theory. Researchers are now trying to reconcile this gap by suggesting smaller galaxies may be conforming to invisible walls created by a new class of particles called simitrons. A fascinating proposal that could rewrite the laws of astrophysics. There you go. Hey, walls in space. This is cool, right? I mean, surely this isn't a simulation theory we live in, right? This is, this got to be something else. Walls in space. Sounds like the Spaceballs Part 3. The standard theory, known as the Lambda Cold Dark Matter model, suggests that the universe is made up of three key elements. The cosmological constant, which is a coefficient added by Einstein to explain his equations of general relativity, cold dark matter, which are slow-moving theoretical particles that don't emit radiation, and the conventional matter we interact with every day. That theory suggests that smaller galaxies should be captured by the gravitational pull of larger host galaxies and forced into chaotic orbits, something that has not been reflected in real-world observations. Now, two researchers from the University of Nottingham may have come up with an explanation, as detailed in a new, yet-to-be-peer-reviewed study. What's up, Megatrons? Dun, 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 Megatron. Now, they suggest a fifth force, could be arranging the galaxies into disk shapes. While still considering the existence of dark matter, the mysterious substance that appears to make up the vast majority of the universe's mass. According to their theories, speculative particles known as simitrons, which researchers have used to explain gaps in our knowledge of the cosmos, could generate this force to form domain walls or boundaries in space. There you go. That's a little hotter than Mike being a day late and a dollar short on the other news there, right? Anyway, 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, TrollMinds.org. Let's do the last one. One final one. Yep, well, here you go. This is the big news of the day because, of course, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time, they're going to have, that's right, a congressional hearing on UFOs. Yeah. So what are we going to be talking about tomorrow? You're fucking right. We're going to be talking about this. Tomorrow on Troubled Minds, we'll be talking about this. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to cut up some hot takes from the audio on this, and we'll play some of these clips, and we'll talk about this tomorrow night. The first congressional UFO hearing in decades. So, well, ought to be interesting. So this is, again, from Politico.com, and here we go. A skull and bones type vibe. It says, spy agencies grapple with how much to share at UFO hearing. This is why we can't have nice things, guys. Because what are your bets? What are your bets? Is this going to be another nothing burger? Now let's read some of this. As Congress prepares to hold the first public hearing on UFOs in half a century, the Pentagon and intelligence agencies are feuding internally over how much to cooperate with demands to investigate and share what they know, according to current and former national security officials. Pentagon officials are under increasing pressure to carry out Congress's recent mandate to establish a permanent effort to coordinate research into reports of highly advanced aircraft of unknown origin for intruding into protected airspace. The law also requires regular classified and public reports to oversight committees on new incidents involving unidentified aerial phenomenon, which, of course, is UAP, which is a new term for UFO, all right, which we've talked about ad nauseum on Troubled Minds Radio. And it is interesting and notable that, number one, it used to be UFO, unidentified flying object. Now it's UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena, right? So phenomena doesn't necessarily mean it's an object, right? It could be plasma radar spoofs. It could be interdimensional things. It could be all kinds of whack shit, right? This is what we talk about in Troubled Minds all the time. It could be nature spirits from a primordial earth. Who the hell knows what's going on up there, right? But it's fascinating and interesting. Is it drones? I'm not so sure. Is it possibly radar spoofing? I've got a whole bunch of information on the podcast feed on that. That's my theory. I think they're yanking our chain here. And they're clearly and obviously UFOs are real. What they are, I think, is definitely open to interpretation here. And you ask 100 people, you'll probably get 100 different answers, right? But we'll see what they tell us tomorrow, because this is going to happen tomorrow at 7 a.m. I am going to watch this hell or high water, and we will have tomorrow's Tuesday night show at 7 p.m. Pacific on this particular hearing, okay? So we'll dissect the shit out of this, and we'll get your takes tomorrow night on this. Tonight, by the way, before we wind this out and get the hell out of here, Nowhere Gal says, interesting headline. Exactly. Skull and Bones type vibe. Yeah, this is fine. This is fine. What's up? Got Real Brene says, nothing burger with hype. Yeah, that totally could be. So tonight, here's what we're going to do as well. We got our good friend, you guys know him and love him, Axel Steele is going to be on the show tonight. We're talking about the Knights Templar. Yeah, that's right. Never talked about it ever before on Troubled Minds. And Axel's one of those history buffs. He reads a lot of books, and he just brushed up on a couple books to get the actual background of the Knights Templar and some of the conspiracies involved. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Axel will be on the show with me tonight, and that's what we're going to do. So the next two, and so much great news today. Maybe this whole next 2 weeks are covered, because holy shit, right? We got tonight, we got the Knights Templar. Tomorrow night, we got this Skull and Bone type vibe, right, of the UFO hearings. So we're going to dissect the shit out of that tomorrow. And then Wednesday and Thursday, who knows? There's enough news here just today that the walls in space, I don't know, tons of crazy stuff. So there you go. So as we finish this up, and there you go, you tell me, what's your hot take on this Skull and Bones type vibe, the spy agencies, the UFOs? Are they going to tell us a damn thing or nothing burgers? I prefer to have something on my burgers, because nothing burgers are just a lot less appetizing. All right, so as we finish, it goes exactly like this. I'm gonna smash the thing. If you want to help the show, there are a number of ways to do that. Of course, you can sub up right here on Twitch, as we got a sub today. Thank you again. Let me scroll up and find the sub real quick. Well, what's up, first time chatter, Nowhere Gal? We also got this ways up in the chat. Let me make sure I get this correct and actually say thank you to the correct, appropriate person. Because also, of course, all the rest of the folks who subbed up to not just Twitch, but all the other places. Let's check this out. Where is this? There it is. Winton the Wonton subscribed with Prime. Appreciate that very much. And so you can also sub up on Patreon or Rockfin, of course. Two fantastic ways to do that. And if you don't want to help the show with money, or you don't have it, I completely understand. There are a number of ways. Just spread the word. Simple as that. You can listen to the podcast feed, troubledminds.org, or anywhere you get your podcast for free. There's ads baked in. Let those ads run. Listen to an old show. There's over 400 shows up on the podcast feed. Listen to an old show you haven't listened to before, and that'll help as well. One final thing, if you want to help again and do like swag, one sec. Troubled Mind swag at troubledfans.com. We got hats. There's a patch now. I ordered the patch to check it out and see what the quality's like, but it's up there in the store. I got t-shirts up there. We got all kinds of stuff. Check it out. All kinds of different colors and styles. Troubled minds, troubled minds, troubled minds. Let's get the fuck out of here. All right. Thanks again for, as always, each and every one of you. I appreciate all the chat, all the thoughtful comments you guys always leave me, and just your time and energy. I appreciate very much. I realize you could be doing 10 million things right now, but you're right here in this moment with me, with us, and thank you so much for that. You guys have a fantastic one. We'll be back in approximately 3 hours talking Templars with our good friend Axel Steele. Have a fantastic one, guys. Happy Monday. Catch you very shortly.